Getting late on the third day, you know, people getting a little worn out. So, okay. First, I have no relationships to disclose other than my wife and children, I guess. Diabetes, the mean age is about 54. People talk about not only has the prevalence tripled since 1980, but they talk about it doubling by 2050 and some projections, perhaps even worse. Diabetes is more common as you age, so you see about 20% prevalence in the elderly. About a third of adults have prediabetes. What we know is that diet and physical activity are like the best ways to treat, right? So it's best for prevention and also for treatment, for control of the diabetes. And adherence with diet tends to be better than adherence with physical activity recommendations. Depression, and we should have the first two bullets switched, really. People with diabetes are at higher risk for depression. Usually it's close to double the rate in diabetes patients than in people without diabetes. But you also can find, going from some evidence, that it goes in the other direction as well, that people who are depressed are also at higher risk of developing diabetes. So we got them together a lot, those two conditions. And we find that diet and exercise affects both. Exercise is protective against depression, though the evidence is a little more mixed in terms of whether it reduces depressive symptoms. And high consumption of fast food increases the risk of depression. So when depression is comorbid in diabetes, we find is that the outcomes are, not surprisingly, worse, right? Higher all-cause mortality, high rates of heart attacks and foot ulcers. And we know that comorbid depression tends to lead to an increase in non-adherence with diet and also tends to be associated with less exercise. So, but now you're going to get not doing those things or hitting you twice. So what I want you to look at was whether the impact of comorbid depression in diabetes patients was due to, is it an additive effect? Is it that depression has an effect, diabetes has an effect? So you add them together and you have an effect. Or is it that there's something about the combination that makes it much more potentially lethal in its effect on diet and exercise? The focus for me is going to be on meals not prepared at home. One of the keys to being able to control your diet is making your own food. And the more you buy meals that are prepared elsewhere, the more you don't know what you're eating, except, well, the more you know you're not eating what you're supposed to, right, so you have way worse control. I'm also looking at getting any exercise. There have been studies, there's been a little bit of work showing that they are, people with diabetes and comorbid depression do not keep with exercise recommendations as well. But I was also curious about whether it means they just tend not to exercise at all, period. And I'm also going to be looking at some differences by age in the younger patients versus the older patients. I certainly don't want to call over 50 old, which is not old. It was old about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. And right now it's not old. In another 6 years, 60 will not be old either. Okay, methods. I used NHANES data, which is a wonderful data set. I've always wondered how they managed to, you know, kidnap the people long enough to get all that data on them. But they have, you know, tons of questionnaires, lab data, examination data, dietary recall. There's really like quite a lot of information for about 10,500 people in each cohort that they run every other year. I used two cohorts. One of the problems with trying to use multiple cohorts is that sometimes the question that you wanted is no longer asked, or it's asked in a different way, and now it's not directly comparable. The statistical test we'll use will be, first of all, the surveys use complex survey sampling. For example, they oversample in minorities so to be able to foster being able to do subgroup analyses. So you have to use some special procedures to handle that. Bivariate analyses in this study were chi-square tests. Logistic regression was used since our outcomes we're going to see shortly are dichotomous. But then what I do is I run on a modified Poisson regression. Unfortunately, the procedures for modified Poisson regression don't allow for the complex survey sampling. So I have to do logistic, and then you run a modified Poisson, which is a wonderful way to do it, because when you do the modified Poisson, you get relative risks. Odds ratios can be problematic when you're dealing with events that are not uncommon. Then they tend to be grossly exaggerating the effect, because everyone's brain converts odds ratios to relative risk, because that's how we function in life. So it tends to be misleading. Diabetes was ever told by a doctor you have diabetes, and depression was the personal health questionnaire, the PHQ-9, have a score greater than or equal to 10. Models or outcome variables, two of them, seven or more meals per week, so an average of one a day, prepared away from home, and any exercise. Any exercise, moderate, vigorous, had to be for a minimum of 10 minutes, even once a week. Study variables were diabetes, depression, and the combination diabetes and comorbid depression. And the adjusters were the usual suspects. Age, race, sex, education, income, marital status, and overall health. Concerned that some patients may be so severely ill that it would impact their ability to cook or their ability to exercise. Looking at the sample, and there's one typo here I'll point out in a moment, diabetes patients are older, right? So the mean age is older than in depression. That should be females, not males, which becomes more obvious as you look across to the rates in depression. So we do find that more females are greater risk for depression, so you see that. In race ethnicity, the non-Mexican Hispanics, so the other Hispanics, were more likely to have combination diabetes and depression, and African Americans were across these conditions at much greater risk. And then when it comes to low SES, we do find that is associated with all of these conditions we're looking at here. So we find much greater rates of people without a high school diploma with diabetes, depression, and the combination diabetes and depression. And then the reverse, of course, by the four-year degrees in higher education. And then in and income, we see that, again, the low income puts you at much greater risk of these conditions. And the marital status, so you find that amongst people who are depressed, a much higher rate of people who are divorced. Overall health, naturally people with these conditions, and some of them have very serious conditions, you're going to find their overall health in much worse and fairer poor in about half the cases for diabetes or depression, and over 80% in the people with comorbid depression and diabetes. So we see for if you have diabetes, about 13.5% will have depression. And the other way, if among people who are depressed, about 14.5%, about 1 in 7 have diabetes. And going to our outcome measures, any exercise at all, you find that in all these conditions, right, it's much lower, and particularly the diabetes and depression group is a tiny fraction, and not too many there getting any exercise at all. And then seven or more meals prepared away from home, we see that you don't really see the effects much in the unadjusted analyses. So looking at the multivariable analyses, the diabetes and depression here didn't really have any effect. But if you had the combination, you were twice as likely to have an average of one meal a day being prepared away from home. So that was an interesting find to see that, you know, no effect of the main effects, but the combination was devastating. And now if we break it into by age, we get interesting results. In the under 50, not as strong results, but they're also, what the tendencies tend to be going in the other direction. And here in the under 50, depression was the only one that was significant, and they were more likely to eat these, have more meals prepared outside the home. But over 50, we find either significant or approaching significance in all three. What we find is diabetes and depression by itself, when they had those conditions, they tended to cook more. But when they had the combination of diabetes and depression, then everything shut down on that. And we find that this relative risk is 3.7, but to get the effect of both conditions, you have to multiply all three because they have all three at one time. It ends up being that if you have both, you're 86%, so close to double the rate of having so many meals prepared away from home. In terms of any exercise, we see here that depression reduced getting any exercise by about 23%. But if you have depression and diabetes, it reduces it by 70%. So again, it wasn't an additive effect here. We're finding is that the combination of depression and diabetes makes it far, far less likely to exercise. And we break it up by age. You find, if you look at the actual relative risks there, you find that they're actually not so different in the two groups. But you don't have as many people with diabetes in the under 50 group. And then when you look at the combination, you're really getting into, I guess, smaller numbers. So there's less statistical significance. When you look in the over 50 group, so you see the effects. You see the diabetes, no effect. Depression, a trend towards a 20% reduction. But diabetes and depression, much less likely, again, to get any exercise. Only about a fourth of the time of the rate. So conclusions, presence of both diabetes and depression, and particularly in patients over age 50, has a synergistic negative effect on diet and exercise, and that these combinations, right, really affected both factors very strongly, and it was clearly not an additive effect. It was very much a unique synergistic effect, and that these may have implications for control of their diabetes and the depression. Interventions that targeting the diabetes and depression population should not only should emphasize maintaining the regular exercise routine and doing more cooking. Strengths of study, it's a large sample size, that's nice. That's representative of the general population, especially when you use the statistical adjustments that you need to. And because of the calculation of relative risks, it was easy to interpret the results and get it right in your limitations, cross-sectional data, so there's no temporality. I don't know which condition came first. I don't know whether there's been change. As they did worse in doing their exercise or diet, what's happened? So I can't tell that with this data. The future direction, so longitudinal data would be useful to know that those things. But also, it's just what are the reasons for these findings, and why do we find this difference by age in the diet? But exercise was really pretty similar to under 15 over 50, but the diet is different. And what I'm wondering is that is it a generational issue that the older people are from a generation when you didn't eat out as much, you prepared your own meals more, so there are more people who generally do cooking, and then when they're afflicted and they're feeling depressed, they don't do as much, so it's a bigger fall off, but I don't have the data for that. And interventions, does adding exercise or cooking more meals have positive impact on the diabetes control and depressive symptoms? And I'll take any questions. Thank you.